morning, Texas Tech. There I am. Hey, I'm Derek Ginter. On today's show, we'll talk about the game of politics and why some scandals are game changers and others are not.
And I'm Morgan Spruill. Today, we're talking about millennials, where they're going, how they think, and much more.
I'm Marissa Trevino, and during today's show, we'll also talk about growing up and how to adjust to your parents as an adult. But first, here's your KTXT News Update with Kira Powell.
Good morning. I'm Kiera Powell with your KTXT News Update. The White House has issued a federal disaster declaration as hundreds of thousands of people in West Virginia wake up to a strict water ban this morning. West Virginia American Water says it doesn't know how soon the water will be safe to use and to drink after yesterday's chemical spill along Elk River contaminated the water supply for 9 counties. As many as 300,000 people have been told to avoid water until further notice. September's gridlock at the George Washington Bridge is engulfing New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in scandal. 6 Bergen County commuters have filed a lawsuit against Christie. They claim they were late for work after being, quote, trapped on local roads. Also, the state assembly today plans to post online more than 900 pages of documents related to the case. The lane blockages were reportedly an act of political retaliation against a mayor who did not support Christie's reelection bid. Jury selection is expected to finish today in the trial of former NFL defensive lineman Josh Brent. The ex-Dallas Cowboy is charged with intoxication manslaughter and manslaughter for allegedly driving drunk and causing the death of teammate Jerry Brown Jr. in December of 2012. The two had just left an Irving club when the vehicle they were in hit a curb and flipped. The manslaughter charge allows jurors to convict Brent even if they find he wasn't drunk. Brent could face up to 20 years in prison if convicted. The trial starts Monday. Here's DG with a look at our weather.
Sunny skies and warmer temperatures expected today with highs in the low 60s, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Clear tonight, lows in the mid 20s, and sunny and warm again tomorrow, high Saturday in the mid 60s. Breezy conditions expected over the weekend. Currently outside, partly cloudy skies, 43 degrees in Lubbock. Wind is from the southwest at 12, creating wind chill of 37 degrees. It's great because both the temperature and the wind chill are finally above freezing. It hasn't been that way for the past week or two. Hey, welcome to Good Morning Texas Tech, 3 minutes past 8 o'clock. What's this bumper music we're hearing?
It is Fool in the Rain. That's the title I've got.
I like it. Takes me back.
He would like this.
Yes, because it's an oldie and a goodie, which means y'all would hate it. Because
no,
it's an
oldie. We don't hate oldies and goodies.
No, I picked it. Obviously, I don't hate it.
Well, don't forget to always hit us up on social media. We got Facebook, Twitter, we got the whole shebang. But you can hit us up the Raider881 and tweet us. And
when are they going to add a dislike us on Facebook or a hate us on Facebook?
I don't think that that's a thing.
Not suggesting that people could, you know, should do that, but I've always wanted to have that option because there's some people out there I want to dislike.
I mean, you can ignore them. You can choose to ignore their friend request.
But publicly,
that's inactive. People of my generation, we want action. I don't want to just sit idly by and ignore people. I want to actively.
No,
hate,
I mean, you can decline them. There is that button as an option, but. Hating them publicly.
Mark Zuckerberg, if you're listening, I'd like a dislike feature.
Oh, my gosh.
Put that in Facebook.
I think he might actually be listening to us, yeah. Yeah. That could be a thing.
Woo!
Dream no
really
little
doubt.
Dreams. That's not what we do here at Texas Tech.
Oh, good hands.
Current events, what's going on?
Well,
first, let's welcome back Morgan. Hey, welcome back. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was great. It was good. Nice little break for 2 weeks. Got to go home and relax and spend time with my family and my friends. But I had to get up, you know, back up here as soon as possible. So
had to get away from the family.
Well, not necessarily. I just, you know, need to go back to work and start school. You know, I have my own routine, my own deal, and I like that, so.
Structure. You like structure.
Structure. I love structure.
What's going on around current events?
Well, this morning, Target announced that they were going to be allowing guests who had shopped in the Retailers U.S. stores during that period when the breach happened.
Breach.
Yes. So
they're going to, say that one more time. They're going to do what?
Okay, I haven't said it yet.
Oh, It's like, did I miss it?
They're allowing customers to have an identity theft and credit monitoring for the next year for free. So if you shopped at the stores during the time that the breach was being taken, like during the breach, then you'll be allowed to do free credit monitoring and identity theft for the next year.
So basically Target signing them up for that service.
Yeah, you have 3 months to enroll yourself in it. And if you don't enroll yourself in it, then you don't get to use it. But I mean, I shopped at Target and I'm going to go ahead and sign up for that because it's free. And I mean, my information was potentially stolen.
My family shops at Target, but we didn't shop during that
I never shop at Target, and I did during that time, and I had to cancel my card and do all of this other craziness.
You might want to consider signing up for that
service. Wait, when was the time that this happened?
It was right before Christmas, right?
Oh, before Christmas? Okay, I went after Christmas.
Black Friday to like the 16th, I think, of December.
Yeah.
But it was a huge chunk of time.
If you used plastic to shop at Target during that period, there was a breach that somebody hacked in and stole all of that information.
Well, so. I read an article, and I think it said like something about 70 million people or something were being asked to do this. That's crazy. I wonder how much, you know, money they're going to lose from this. I mean, obviously not as much as, you know, getting sued for like allowing someone to breach your system, but
well, it
crazy.
Could have. This is where we need to bring in one of our marketing experts from our college to talk about this. But there could be actually a beneficial result for Target, seeing as being proactive and helping to deal with
responsible.
Exactly. So I know that resonates with many people. You know, oh, they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I like that, and I'm going to solicit my business with them as a result of that. What else is going on locally? Anything?
Well,
you were talking about Walmart.
Yes, we are going to get a new Walmart.
A fifth Walmart.
Yes, just what we need, right?
Lubbock needs another one. We're getting a fifth Walmart, at least.
Well, it's on the other, like near the
114th. Yeah, in Quaker. It's over by Cliff Kingsbury, supposed, you know, headquarters. But so maybe he'll enjoy this Walmart.
Of course, Morgan would know that.
Yeah, of course they would.
Well, it caused a huge uproar. This Walmart coming in, people are not so happy on that side of town.
Because of the neighborhood that it's going to go next to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of the neighborhood, but basically it's sort of upscale, but they like being out in the country or having that country feel. They don't want to have all these retailers next door, and so they were trying to block or at least get some provisions included that, you know, they would have to have a 12-foot wall between the store and their neighborhood and stuff like that.
Well, I really think it has to do with the people. I don't know. I just read another article that said Walmart draws in certain types of people, and especially a lot of crime is surprisingly around Walmart areas.
Like
you know,
me.
We have, you know, the homeless. Y'all have seen
like
right out there on Glen and Goodacre, the Walmart is flooded with them.
But
you know,
I feel
like that.
It depends on the Walmart.
True.
Because the Walmart on 82nd, I feel like, is pretty nice, and they're really good about security.
Yeah.
But this one over here, it's kind of like, well, free
You think the homeless would walk that far to solicit that Walmart?
I don't know if you're going to make more money at that Walmart.
Just saying. Not a slam against the homeless, but just saying.
Well, I was watching an interview with a lady that you were talking to last night who lives in that neighborhood, and she said she's so sad because she has to sell her house. She can't stay. Just ridiculous stuff. You don't have to sell your house, lady. You can stay, but you don't want to.
I mean, there is a pro. If you need milk or something, just it's right there. Don't worry.
Well, I just question the fact that we need a fifth Walmart in Lubbock.
True.
Well, hey, you're listening to The Raider. Good morning, Texas Tech on The Raider, 88.1. Here's some music. Dresses with Back to Life.
Wake up, you're not dead. You're breathing slowly in my car. My palm sweat stains, you're pretty sure. My lips oxygenate your world. Back to life. Feel the same.
Dresses, singing Back to Life, performing Back to Life. Who's the main artist in that group? Do we know?
I have no idea.
I liked it. It was
catchy.
It's a new one from our independent library, of course, that Matt puts in.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. I've got a lot of work for him to do. The music's been stacking up since the holiday. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech on KTXT. 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. Partly cloudy, 43 degrees outside, wind chill of 37. DG in the studio next to Morgan.
Happy Friday, everyone.
It is Friday.
Finally.
Is
best
Friday.
Day of the week.
Seriously. Well, entertainment news. Miley Cyrus lands Marc Jacobs' spring-summer 2014 campaign. We kind of talked about Kristen Stewart getting Chanel. I just think it's really weird that these stars are getting these really high fashion jobs.
But you know what? Miley Cyrus doesn't really surprise me with this one because I feel like she has become the edgy celeb. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she's transformed into this edgy
but isn't
stylist.
This, I mean, if that's your career, this is like your, that would be your natural.
True. And I think with Marc Jacobs, she's actually going to be seen wearing more clothes now, especially,
actual
you know,
clothing?
Actual
clothing.
She will actually be seen wearing
because,
clothes.
I mean, Marc Jacobs is really high scale and like mm-hmm. classy. And when I think of Marc Jacobs, I don't think of Miley Cyrus.
But yeah. I think of very fashion forward. And I think she is on that track to becoming a celebrity that people look at as someone who is ahead of the trends.
Well, I think more so, I think they're trying to target our demographic, you know, our generation.
Your generation.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later in the show. We have a baby boomer sitting next to us.
No, I'm not a boomer.
Wow.
I'm going to say that. We'll clarify that.
Yeah.
I'm not a boomer. I don't want to take the whole boomers down with me, but we'll discuss that later. Where do you go to find Marc Jacobs clothing, by the way?
You can do it online. You can't get it here in Lubbock.
Yeah. Okay.
You might find some at Dillard's.
They don't carry it at Walmart.
No.
Dillard's would be the only place that you'd be able to buy it here.
Yeah, and they'd probably have very limited selection of it, but
you know,
go to a higher market.
Check that out.
You can find it easily, but pretty cool stuff. Do y'all watch Girls, the HBO comedy?
I don't, but I've heard lots of great things.
Oh my gosh. Y'all need to watch it. I watched the new episode last night, and the first scene is she's nude, and she
goes... That's why I can't watch it, is because of all of the gratuitous nudity on there.
But it's so... I don't know. I think it's so great. But anyways, Lena Dunham...
Wait, you think gratuitous nudity is great?
Well, I think... I mean, she does it in a very feminist way, and I think her response was very...
See, I think it's,
you know,
it's overdone. I don't need to see that much of her all the time. Okay, I don't want to see that much of myself all the time. I surely don't want to see somebody else. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
I mean, it's. I don't think this show's for everybody. It's just, I think the script and the actors, and she really gets into her character, and I really think it portrays, I don't know, just girls at her age. I don't know. I think they do a really good job of it, and...
Fair enough.
I don't know. But anyways, supposedly when a male journalist opened up the show's third season press conference, She supposedly said, "I don't get the purpose of all the nudity on the show." Or he said, "Sorry, I don't get the purpose of all the nudity on the show by you particularly," and was kind of comparing it to Game of Thrones, but saying that nobody complains about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he said, "With Game of Thrones, I get it, but with your show, I don't. What's up with that?"
Basically. Yeah, and she basically said that it's a realistic expression of what it's like to be alive, and goes on, and she gets, you know, she's a really artsy person, so she really gets into it, but I love her. She's great, and I think just because maybe she's not a thick-skinned, you know, like a really small...
A stick figure?
Yeah, like a stick figure people have a problem with, and I mean, she's obviously very full-figured. She's got tattoos, and she's not your, you know, normal-looking, like, girl that you would see nude on TV, and so that's why
I don't think
I
that's
like
the
it.
Part that bothers me. I just think sometimes it's just thrown in for shock value a little bit on that show in particular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where and I sometimes just think, I do feel like, wow, that was a little maybe
And the value needed to shock is having to be more and more, and so it's...
Exactly.
You know, back in the old days, you'd leave it all up to the imagination. Now, you don't. Just saying.
So, Girl Meets World, y'all all know that that is...
Yes.
The spinoff.
Spinoff of Boy Meets World. Apparently, the youngest star makes $8,000 a week.
Holy
at
moly.
I'm sorry, 6 years old.
6 years old?
Yes. His name is August Machuro, and he plays the youngest son of Corey and Topanga on the show. And, yeah, supposedly $8,000 per episode, which is, you know, one per week. So
I can
nice
look
for a six-year-old, huh?
If they're willing to pay $8,000.
I hope he, like, invests that money into something great. I hope his parents aren't like, hey,
I'm sure his parents aren't letting him, like, buy whatever he wants. I mean, with $8,000 a week, like, how many toys can you even buy?
That's $32,000 a month.
You don't buy toys. You buy the toy store.
Yeah.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like you have to worry about him spending it so much as the parents.
Yeah, exactly.
In Hollywood.
Yeah, but I'm not concerned. You read these horror stories about child actors years later that, you know, their lives were destroyed because they had no youth. They were ruined by the paparazzi, the money, you know. What about his education and his upbringing?
You go to school on set. They have teachers for you. When I lived in California, I was an extra and on a lot of things, and we had to go to school.
What were you an extra on, Kira?
ER.
You were an extra on ER?
Yeah.
Were you actually on the show?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I have a picture
like
with George Clooney.
Were you a victim?
I was just in a bed. I mean, I got to do lots of fun, silly stuff as a kid, but it did start to take a toll on. I just wanted to go to school, and now I'm kicking myself because I'm like, you should go to school.
School.
What a loser.
One school.
Get out.
I could have been making $8,000 a week
exactly.
at 6 years of age.
So dumb.
Well, that's cool. I did not know that.
So,
here's a tidbit for the day.
I know. We're learning a lot about Kira on this show, I've noticed. When's the big show, Marissa, the award show?
The People's Choice Award?
That's it.
That already passed.
Yeah, it happened.
It's already happened.
Yeah, I was like, what am I supposed to be keeping track with? Yeah, no, that already happened.
Paris Hilton had the best attire, and this one girl showed up in like what looks like some
attire,
peasant
is
rags.
Is that what you were saying?
Was the worst dress. She wore like a vintage, like, flurry skirt, but anyways, we'll talk more about that when we return. This is In Your Car by Big Deal.
I got a friend who never lets me down.
Deal with in your car. I like that line, asleep in the back seat. You know, some of the best sleeps I've ever had were on long road trips in the back seat of the car or the truck.
Because it's so soothing.
It is. The vibration of the car just kind of soothes you to sleep and the road noise.
Do you have to sit in the front seat, Morgan?
No, but I just can't. Like, I can't read and be like in a vehicle all these other things.
Motion sickness.
Like, woo, it gets bad. But I hear a lot of people, you know, drive their kids around and get them to sleep in their car seat.
Done that before. Made several trips to Brownfield and Leveland.
Oh.
Trying to get the kiddo to quiet down. It worked. And then by the time I got home, I was dick tired, ready for bed.
No.
Well, hey, this segment we're going to dedicate to political scandals. Do they surprise you? Do you expect them? Why are some career ending for politicians and others not? It's a very interesting topic. Of course, what probably spurred this topic was what's going on in the great, fantastic state of New Jersey with Governor Chris Christie and the scandal concerning the George Washington Bridge closure. The George Washington Bridge, of course, one of the few ways to get to, is it to Manhattan Island?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the big, one of the few bridges that actually connects Manhattan with the rest of the world. And there's a town, Fort Lee, New Jersey. The mayor of Fort Lee allegedly did not endorse Chris Christie during his re-election bid last September. And as a result, some of Chris Christie's higher aides ordered the closure of several lanes of traffic on that bridge, basically bringing traffic to a standstill, a huge traffic jam. Gridlock for hours, and it has now come to light that his campaign, well, I guess several high people in his administration actually ordered it. They have proof. There were emails back and forth, and basically it was related to as payback for the mayor not endorsing Chris Christie for governor.
It kind of seems like a juvenile prank. You know, a very high-level prank.
That is not juvenile. You cannot shut down two lanes of a three-lane highway. If you've ever sat in Houston traffic before and when they, like, shut it down to two lanes, you're, like, going crazy because it slows down so much.
I've sat in traffic before. I've sat in D.C. traffic for over an hour, and it's awful, but I mean, it's probably not the worst scandal I've ever heard.
Well, Christie denies knowing about it, and he actually was on record as saying, you know, no one within my administration had anything to do with this. And then days later, it came to light that, oh, yes, they did. Not only were they aware of it, they're the ones that actually ordered it, and here's the proof. And so he's having to backpedal. And, of course, he's now in this scandal up to his neck. And the question is, he's with the conservative, the Republican Party. He was being looked at by, I guess, the darling of the conservative wing as a potential presidential candidate in 2016. But now it's not looking so well for him.
I still think he could be.
You don't think this is an ender for him?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I just have to think that if he's done this, like, there's probably other things that he's done, and I wouldn't back.
But he fired the aide that was supposed to be in charge of, like, leading this call to close. So, I mean, he continually says he doesn't have anything to do with it.
This is totally, like, House of Cards for me. I feel like, really? So did you give him, like, some money and said, well, I'll put in a good word for another candidate or something. You can go work for him, but I'm sorry, you can't work for me anymore. Even though we talked about this several times and tried to keep it hush-hush, but I don't know. Well, there's too many.
It's a dual-edged sword for Christie, because either he has no idea what's going on within his own administration, which is not a good thing, or He helped ordered it, knew full well about it, and this is leaving up to his image, as many have alleged that he's just a big political bully. So either way, it's a lose-lose for him. So I don't know. I will not make any predictions. I think this will probably sink his election chances for president in 2016, but we'll see. We'll have to just, time will tell, I guess. Mm. And there's been plenty of other scandals going on.
Plenty. Oh, of course.
Ugh. Do you expect? I'm an older person among the crowd here in the studio this morning, but I just say that politics and scandals go hand in hand. That's what we expect of our politicians today, and I expect the worst.
I don't want to expect the worst. I hate that. We have elected these people to run our country, for goodness sake.
Do we expect them to run the country? Worst. I think we expect them to run the country into the ground, because that seems to be what's going on. But we, as an electorate, we get what we deserve. We deserve the politicians that we have because we're the ones that are electing them into office.
Well, and I think the whole voting process and stuff, like, the common people don't understand how it works. Like, they really think that, you know, like, they can make a difference
your
and
vote
all
matters.
This. Yeah, your vote matters. Well,
Electoral
no,
college.
It really does not. So, I don't know. It starts from the bottom and it goes all the way to the top.
So we're the problem? Is that what you're saying?
No,
I'm saying it's from the very bottom level of politics.
To quote the great Michael Jackson, take a look at the man in the mirror. Is that what you're saying?
But you have to think that it does have something to do with us, because how many people are, like, looking into the people that they're electing? How many people do their research to know and to make educated guesses on who they're voting for?
Yeah, but yeah. More people are more, I think as a society in this country, we're more interested in figuring out who to vote for on American Idol than we should for office, political office.
But you know more about your candidates on American Idol than you do.
Well, heck yeah.
So there's where the
that's like, the disconnect.
Here's I think. What exactly. I think politics interesting then. Like
I think people, a lot of times I
show.
Feel like
their
you go
show,
in yeah. with a very good intention. These people go in and then the power just
eats them alive.
Eats them alive, almost, yeah. Because you have people coming from all directions. I'll give you this if you'll do this. Just compromise a little bit here, mm-hmm. and a little bit here ends up 50 years, you know,
yeah.
away from where you started, and I don't know. I just hate it.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Hey, it's almost the half hour. We're going to be hearing from Kira Powell here in just a little bit with our news headlines. Are we going to another music break?
No, we are not.
Okay. 30 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech right here on the Raider 88.1 College Radio, coming to you from Texas Tech University. Kira Powell up next.
Good morning. Here's a look at today's headlines. The White House has issued a federal disaster declaration as hundreds of thousands of people in West Virginia wake up to a strict water ban this morning. West Virginia American Water says it doesn't know how soon its water will be safe to use and drink after yesterday's chemical spill along the Elk River contaminated the water supply for 9 counties. As many as 300,000 people have been told to avoid the water until further notice. September's gridlock at the George Washington Bridge is engulfing New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in scandal. 6 Bergen County commuters have filed a lawsuit against Christie. They claim they were late for work after being, quote, trapped on local roads. Also, the state assembly plans today to post online more than 900 pages of documents related to the case. The lane blockages were reportedly an act of political retaliation against a mayor who did not support Christie's reelection bid. Jury selection is expected to finish today in the trial of former NFL defensive lineman Josh Brent. The ex-Dallas Cowboy is charged with intoxication manslaughter and manslaughter for allegedly driving drunk and causing the death of teammate Jerry Brown in December of 2012. The two had just left an Irving club when the vehicle they were in hit a curb and flipped. The manslaughter charge allows jurors to convict Brent even if they find he wasn't drunk. Brent could face up to 20 years in prison if convicted. The trial is set to start Monday. Here's Derek Ginter with a look at our weather.
Thanks, Kira. Sunny skies today, warmer with highs in the low 60s, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Clear tonight, lows in the mid 20s, and more of the same tomorrow, sunny with highs in the mid 60s Saturday. Breezy conditions expected through most of the weekend. Currently outside in Lubbock, partly cloudy, 43 degrees. Wind is from the southwest at 12 miles per hour, creating a wind chill of 37. 31 minutes past 8 o'clock. Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. DG in the studio. This is pretty good bumper music. I like it.
Thanks.
Is this another old one? Is this this another old
one? No, this is not old.
New-ish.
It's like, it's a couple of years old.
Well, that's still new. Two. It's not from the 80s.
Well, that's true. It's not from DG's era. Oh,
something gosh. It could be.
Well, that's a good segue into our next discussion segment, which is concerning millennials. How do we define the current generation of college students? What are some common definitions? And how does that impact what we do? How does that impact the economy? How's that going to impact you guys's, you gals's job prospects post-graduation?
Well, millennials or Generation Y are born through...
1980 through 2000,
yeah,
roughly.
Through 2000, mm-hmm. roughly. But... I think we have the worst reputation of all.
I think so. They call us like spoiled and brats. Yeah. And
well, I'm going to speak up because my generation was labeled the same way by the greatest generation. The greatest generation was calling the baby boomers the same thing: lazy, no good, good for nothings. I get lobbed into Generation X, but I argue that I actually come between the baby boomers and pre-Gen X. That's why I jokingly refer to myself as Generation IX. I'm Generation 9 in Roman numerals. But no, I think it's unfair. All generations usually get labeled lazy, good for nothing, et cetera, mm-hmm. by the preceding generation because, you know, Your generation has the greatest lifestyle in the history of the planet. I mean, you look at your parents versus your grandparents, the homes that you grew up with, the opportunities you have both in education and technology. It's cool. This is a fantastic time to be alive, especially as a young person. We refer to your group as Generation Y, and that was some of the first terms to distinguish it from Generation X, but I think millennials is probably more important because the general definition for millennial is young people that are coming into their adult years roughly in the year 2000, you know, late 1990s, early 2000s. But a few things about millennials. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with all of these. Millennials are the last generation born in the 20th century. I agree with that. That's true. 20% of millennials have at least one parent who is an immigrant. A number of studies, including one by the Center for American Progress, anticipate that millennials will be the first American generation to do less well economically than their parents. And I do believe in that. I think there is something to be said, especially with the recession and the economy.
Well, Bill, why is that, though? It's because of the baby boomers, right?
Not because of the boomer, partially because of the boomers in Generation X, but because of the economy.
We're spending more than we have.
You're spending money you don't have.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Job opportunities are less. You may have better education, but once you get out of college, finding that first job
There's
is really
none.
Difficult.
But you also didn't have credit
job.
Cards. I mean, think about if, like, there were credit cards back then. I mean, even 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, there were like accounts. Yeah, I put that on my account. But
we had credit cards, but personal debt in those days was nowhere near like it is today, which is scary.
Well, see, I feel like my parents stress even more, though.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
Over
get yourself
you young millennials.
In a bind.
But then,
oh, they won't let me have one.
Yeah,
Okay, see, my parents have, like, no cares on, like, what I do. My parents are the kind that are like, okay, like, fall off a bridge and you'll, like, see that you shouldn't do those things anymore. Like, they're going to let me, like, fall. They're not going to tell me what to do as much. And I think that, like, I've gotten myself into, like, some money troubles, but they're, like, kind of helping me, but not really. They're like, you put yourself into that hole, you're going to dig yourself out.
But if you don't know how to avoid the hole, it doesn't really...
Millennials are sometimes called the net generation because y'all never knew a time where there wasn't an internet. And as a result of growing up with the internet and the associated devices of technology today, millennials are often said to be the most technologically savvy generation to date.
I disagree with that.
I agree with one caveat. You may be technologically savvy, but in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, you don't have the common sense...
Wow! Thanks.
Well, because
really
you're relying you're too dependent on the technology. That's what I see as the downside, and that's my fear. Just in my brief time on the planet, watching the differences between my generation and yours, your generation is so technology dependent. It's really scary, especially in the light of domestic terrorism and things that could compromise the technology and be used against you, like personal freedom, personal privacy. You know, the big stories that nobody's really talking about, we were talking about political, what were we talking about? We were talking about political scandals. Some of the biggest scandals, I think, are the ones involving our own government and what they're doing to us with
Snapchat.
Our technology. Snapchat.
Have you all heard about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With millennials, it's like, eh, no big deal. For people of my generation and older, that's scary. This is what we've been warning people about for a long time.
And that's true. But when you grow up and that's the norm, I understand why it's not a big deal to us.
Right.
Because it's so...
That's how you grow up. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Government spying on us? Yeah, so
Bill
what?
Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, we grew up... Yeah, we started our life with that. So, you know, it doesn't really get much worse from there.
Oh, you millennials. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this, I think, coming up. Mm-hmm. Especially with... fast casual restaurants. That's one of
fast
my big...
You have to explain what that is when we come back.
Yeah, you will.
Leisure Society with Fight for Everyone here on the Raider 88.1. Leisure Society, Fight for Everyone. Music here on the Raider, 88.1. Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. 41 minutes now past 8 o'clock.
I had a thought.
Oh, what's your thought, Kira?
When I was in junior high, September 11th happened. And that's probably one of the biggest things that's happened in my lifetime that I can say I remember and I know. So when you hear things about the government spying on you and personal freedoms, I guess, being imposed upon, I think that's maybe a little, that has a little bit to do with why our generation doesn't, it's not such a big deal. Because it's like, well, if it can prevent something else from happening, I don't necessarily mind you imposing on my freedoms in that way.
I would agree with that.
I just think we're so desensitized.
Well, and sometimes I have nothing to hide. Like, I use Snapchat, but I'm sending, like, ugly pictures of myself with, like, out makeup and hair is all a mess. And, like, if someone wants to look at that, like, okay, I'm sorry.
Have fun.
Well.
But it's not like, I'm not sending, like, dirty pictures or anything that I'm going to be like, oh, no.
That's true. And there is that view where, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong or illegal, you have nothing to worry about. But to that, I would say, that argument's been used time and time before, and I think with us older generation people, we recognize the dangers inherent in this kind of system of keeping tabs on what everybody's doing, regardless of whether it's legal or not, whether the activities that people are doing are legal or not. As a recent Facebook user myself, mm-hmm. I was fascinated by the fact that I could upload a photo, and it would recognize the faces automatically. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's interesting, but that's also very scary to me, because if this is the kind of technology that social media is using to identify people for the innocuous purpose of, you know, here's DG with Kira Powell and Marissa Trevino and Morgan Spruill, what does that suggest the technology really has in the wrong hands? They can use that same technology to identify all kinds of things, you know, illicitly and without our knowledge. And again, pointing back to the political scandals, a lot of those scandals were broke because people came forward to say, hey, there's some things going on that are wrong and you probably need to know about them. Just like Mr. Snowden mm-hmm. releasing all this information
Watergate.
About the NSA. Mm-hmm. That's how Watergate broke. You know, several Pentagon papers. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things that, you know, your government, which is looking out for your best interests,
supposedly,
is involved in a lot of bad things in mm-hmm. the process. But it is scary. And that's why, as an older generation person, I'm terrified for you younger folks, because it's like you really... I don't think your generation quite understands the dangers involved of going down that path. And you're innocent, and you don't know. And that's the scary part is, yeah, it's normal. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is you could be innocent, but yet when the government says they don't like you anymore, you're done.
Yeah.
You are done. You have absolutely no recourse, no choice. You know, when the government says you are bad, you're done. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Have we heard any more about that Marine, or what was he, that guy that supposedly he was in some military deal, and supposedly they said that he was involved doing some secret stuff for them, and something happened, and then they totally turned their back on him and, you know, told the world that he was bad and, like, all this kind of stuff. I don't know. Kind of like that. I don't know the full details on it.
There's a lot of stories like that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just say, you know, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. You post these things on the internet, and you're actually helping the government. That's what I think is another big scare to me, is how open the younger generation is to posting personal and private information on the internet, and the government really doesn't have to do much to find out about you. In
yeah.
fact, you know, when the Boston bombers at the Boston Marathon, it was really interesting to me how quickly the Boston media were able to pull up. Once the name was released, just a single name, and there were brothers, but when the first brother's name was released, how quickly Facebook photos, Twitter things, all of these things
oh, yeah.
suddenly came up because of all this information that's just publicly available, and all you need is a search engine. So be careful what you post out there.
This is very true.
I mean, that's just a common sense kind of thing. Like, don't post your life on there. Don't.
But people do.
Common sense is
always shocked by how much information you give away.
It is shocking.
Let me check in. I hope I don't have any stalkers, because they can find me everywhere I go.
That's Kira Powell, Kira KTXT.
No, I love that Allstate commercial where it's like this lady, she's like posting, like, going on vacation, and the burglar pops up.
Have fun.
I'll see you, or I'll see you when you get back. Or something.
Exactly.
But,
oh my gosh.
But I have found that millennials are very technologically savvy. That's not to say that the older generation isn't. You should have seen the early versions of all this technology back in the day, which we thought were cool. And it's not. By today's standards, it's not. But
didn't even know what you were missing.
Oh, I know. You know, our first video game was Pong, and we thought that was special.
I remember the duck shooting game.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Yeah. That was one of the best ones.
My son was asking me, Dad, why don't you play video games anymore? And I said, because it used to take quarters when I was...
That's like $60 a game.
That's right. I lost a lot of my allowance and lunch money playing Space Invaders and Missile Command back in the day. Hey, it's about 15 minutes away from 9 o'clock. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech here on the Raider. We've got some more music coming your way. This is Do I Want to Know by the Arctic Monkeys.
You got color in your cheeks. Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways?
Sad to see you go.
Started hoping that you'd stay. Saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. Here I am, 'cause I always do. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for somebody new. Now I'm going through. Crawling back to you. So have you got the goods? Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should. Simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you. I don't know if you the same as I do, but we could be together if you wanted to.
Do I wanna know
if this feeling flows both ways?
Sad to see you go.
Was sorta hoping that you'd stay.
Do I Want to Know by Arctic Monkeys. Pretty good song. Questionable cover.
Cover art.
I apologize for all you streaming online. That will be fixed immediately. But anyways, have y'all heard of the ex-doctor in Oklahoma charged with 9 counts of murder for prescribing painkillers, and he is apparently done it about 9 times, and a couple of them have ended in drug toxicity, and like 6 of them out of the 9.
Toxicity.
But I think it's a real problem that we have in America. Is a lot of our kids and elderlies are always getting, you know, prescribed these medicines that.
I am prescribed a lot of pain. I am elderly, and I am prescribed lots of pain medicine, and I think y'all are trying to slowly kill me over time.
Well, I think, I don't know, maybe it has to do with something, I don't know, with these drug companies, or they're, you know, talking to these doctors, getting them these incentives to prescribe these drugs, and I think it's kind of sad.
There was a big story on the BBC a while back about how a big multinational pharmaceutical company, I think based out of Great Britain, was basically selling crap. As medication. And it turned out that not only was it not curing what it was supposed to be curing in terms of the malady, but it was causing other health problems, and in some cases just amounted to being sugar water, you know. And they actually were forced to admit it. There was, again, emails between the company execs and the places
Never
where it was being produced.
Never leave a paper trail.
It's not paper trail anymore. It's all electronics. No. But yeah, they were forced to have to admit that they were in the wrong, pay up a lot of money, and I think they were banned in China or some one of those Asian countries as a result. So yeah, there is a big pharmaceutical industry where the profit motive seems to be the driving factor.
I mean, yeah, these are hundreds of billion dollar corporations that just, you know, produce these drugs, sell them, and I think it's crazy. If y'all ever are bored or something and have Netflix, you should watch American Addict. It's kind of a documentary that goes along with this.
And they
get different sides, so it's not, you know, biased or one-sided or anything like that, so...
I thought Breaking Bad was a good example of the pharmaceutical industry gone wrong. But
Well, we were talking about this earlier and we didn't get to it, but DG, why don't you explain to us what fast casual is?
Fast casual. Yeah, we were talking about millennials and how you're the upcoming generation, and of course it's always the up-and-coming generation that basically determines how business is going to conduct itself in all of the various sectors, not the least of which is the food industry, the fast food sector, the restaurant sector. I was talking with a good friend over the holiday, a classmate of mine, and he's in the food industry, and he was telling me about how his particular chain of restaurants, which is family style, is basically getting a lot of competition from fast casual restaurants, and I had to look that up. And basically, fast casual is one step above fast food.
Chipotle.
Sit down. It's a sit-down place, but you're not. You don't have a waiter or a waitstaff person come wait on you, but the food and the atmosphere of the restaurant is supposedly higher end as opposed to fast food. So Chipotle is an excellent example.
Fuzzies.
McAllister's, Fuzzies. Mm-hmm.
Jason's Deli,
as opposed to a traditional sit-down restaurant where you are waited on, you place your order, you wait for a while, they bring it to you, wait on you hand and foot, etc. And the reason why is fast casual is geared towards millennials. Millennials are driving the fast casual restaurant industry, something fierce, I was told. And it was explained to me this way, and Marissa, we were talking about this yesterday, and Marissa was like, yeah, that's right, I do find myself doing that. For example, Starbucks. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to Starbucks and you get your latte or whatever, when you have that latte in hand or after you order it, what are you looking for? You're looking for a place to sit down. You don't care if there's cups and tables and coffee rings on the table or what. You just shove that all aside, because what is it that you millennials are after? I just need a place to sit down so I can start texting on my device while I'm drinking my latte, right? Yeah. Whereas the older generation, it's like, hey, why hasn't this table been bussed yet? You know, let's get all these dirty dishes out of the way.
Let's make eye contact.
Yeah, let's talk.
I'd like to talk. That I do enjoy. When you go out with friends to restaurants, that's what you go to do. And we talked about this, how I don't necessarily mind waiting if I'm with friends. So if the service isn't great, it doesn't bother me.
What's
as
funny
much.
To me is when I go out to eat, you know, to look at other young people in the restaurant and see what they're doing. They're all texting. They're a group of 5 or 6 around a big table, and they're all texting on their devices instead of talking and carrying on, which I find interesting. But that's a big difference between.
See, if I want to do that, I'll pay to take it home.
Yeah, and it's kind of hurt. Like, it kind of hurts your feelings. I don't know when you notice that, and you're like with a friend, and like you're talking, and like, you know, they're texting and stuff, or like, yes. I'm gonna have to talk to Alex, my boyfriend, about it. It really is like it's hurtful.
I think it's
like,
more common with your generation than it is with mine.
Do you have to tell your boyfriend often that he needs to listen to you, Morgan?
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, there's sometimes, you know, and I haven't said anything to him about it or anything, but, you know, he'll be, like, texting his friends, and, you know, we don't get to see each other often, and it's just like...
What's your BFF's name?
His name...
What's his name?
Not her, Alex. Not her best friend
Alex.
Forever.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend.
Well, boyfriend forever, right?
Yeah, but I mean, and it's not just him. Like, I'm not, if
so
he's listening right
Alex.
Now, you know.
Alex,
it's not a big deal or anything.
It's not too late. I have several florists on speed dial.
Oh, gosh. No, but y'all know what I mean. Yes. Like, it's just annoying.
My
it's
mom
like,
has a rule that as we've gotten older and we're able to pay for it, mm-hmm. phones go in the middle of the table, and the first one to touch their phone has to pay for everyone's meal. So
ooh.
It's... good incentive not to touch your phone.
Now,
that is
when I'm talking with my mom, I love to text during those conversations just to drive her crazy, just to show that I can do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez Louise.
And then I get in trouble much later.
You still get in trouble as an adult with your mom?
Are you kidding? We're going to have to move this segment to the next show.
We are. That was a good segment.
About how as we get older, how does our relationship with our parents change? Are we still treated like children? Yes.
I love mine right now, though. I love it.
Well, I love my mom, too, but, oh, there's days. And she'll, you know, I'll probably need to get her on the phone so she can tell the other side. Yes, I still get in trouble. I get in great trouble. That has never changed for some reason.
But I feel like it's in a different light. Like, they're just looking out for your best interest right now.
Makes me wonder. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder.
Yeah.
2 minutes from the top of the hour. Hey, thanks for tuning in this morning. Is Kevin going to be back on Monday, we think?
Hope.
Is this my last at bat, hopefully?
Probably not.
You don't
not.
Have to put up with me anymore? Oh, okay.
Man, well, this was a pleasure. Who can say that they've got to co-host
with
DG
Morgan.
Derek
I got to
Ginter,
co-host with Morgan.
Station manager of KTXT 88.1 The
hey,
Raider.
Hey, it was fun. I always have fun. I appreciate y'all doing it. But mm-hmm. As the students return, you'll be hearing more of them, less of me, thank goodness. Undercurrents coming up next. We've got more BBC World Have Your Say at noon, and then we've got fantastic music coming up for the remainder of the day starting at 1 o'clock. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Mm-hmm. Peace out.
Happy Friday.